Thank you to our collectors, and thank you too to the praise group helping to lead our praise today. John, if you can put up the title slide there. Right, girls, the answer's up there. How old is the girls' brigade here in Brookside this year? Okay. Let me see. Maybe Karis, could you help? How many years? Some of the bigger ones. Okay, shout out, Johanna. 50 years. Isn't that what you're meaning, girls? 50 years. The GB is 50 years old. That's why the other night we had a birthday cake for the Girls Brigade. 50 years old. And in the next slide, we see what the GB was like 50 years ago. It has changed a bit. I don't know if many people who are in that picture are here today. It'd be nice to get them up the front and see if they change much, but maybe we'll spur them that. Okay, and so the Girls Brigade 50 years ago, it has changed quite a bit. What does the Girls Brigade look like today? Okay, when I put my hand up, I'm not waving, I'm just giving Jonathan a wee signal there. There's the Girls Brigade. It's a lot bigger. The uniform's a wee bit different. Some things the same, but the Girls Brigade has changed. Over the years, people change, and the world around us changes in many years. I think one of the big differences from the Girls' Brigade 50 years ago to the Girls' Brigade today, the older girls anyway, they have grown a new part to their bodies called a telephone, which they're never out. And the world around us has changed in many ways, but a lot of the changes in the world has made the work of the Girls' Brigade and the Boys' Brigade much more difficult. And let me just share some of the ways it has changed over this past 50 years. In 1967, probably the majority of people who lived in Ahochill would have went to church, were familiar with church, and church was part of their lives. Today we're trying to reach girls and families who have little contact with church. Also, 50 years ago, people knew the Bible much better than today. And that's amazing because it has never been as easy to get a Bible. You can have a Bible on your phone. You can have a Bible on your iPad, your Kindle. It is so easy to read God's Word. And yet today, I go into school sometime. I remember going into school asking somebody who was the first man. And the older kids, a lot of them didn't know. It wasn't a school in Ahochill, I may add. So 50 years ago, people knew the Bible much better. What next? 50 years ago, society, their morals was fitting in very much with the morals that the church taught, that the Bible taught. And today, what the girls are learning in GB goes against what the world out there is saying, and that makes it much more difficult. 50 years ago, girls went to school. They came home from school probably at 3 o'clock, and they probably, the rest of the week, didn't do anything. They probably didn't even have a television to watch girls 50 years ago in your house. Only a few houses would have had televisions. And there was very little for girls to do during the week other than go to GB. Today, there's so many activities after school, and there's so many things to entertain the girls. And one final one. 50 years ago, children were told what to do. And girls would say, you go to GB. I don't want to go to GB. You go to GB. And there was no other outcome. Today, girls, even we girls, go if they want to go so often. And that has changed. It's no longer parents leading and commanding their girls. It's what so often girls rule. Now, because of all those changes, it is harder to reach the next generation with the message of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to think today. How do we reach the girls in the future? We're looking back over 50 years, but I want to look to the years ahead. And this is very important for officers and leaders in the Girls Brigade. It's very important for all Christians in this church. It's very important for parents. It's very important for girls who are Christians, who want their friends to come to know Jesus. And we see here someone, I read this book this past week. Friend recommended last Saturday. I sent for it on Amazon, and I was there in a couple of days, and I read it in a couple of hours. It was only a wee book, and it's by this fella called Kevin DeYoung, who's a minister in America. And it's a book about winning the next generation for Christ. And he gives five important lessons
that we need to keep if we are going to be those who are going to win the next generation. The first one we see, he says, is grab them with passion. Whether you're a leader in the girls' brigade or whether you're a girl in the company, you're not going to grab your friends for Jesus unless you're passionate about this. You can't be half-hearted about this. If you go to school, girls, there's probably some subjects you're really excited about. What subjects do you like in school? Hands up, he wants to tell me what subjects they like in school. Yes? You like to grab stones. That's very good. Okay, what do you like to do in school? What subject do you like in school? Okay, grass. Okay, Anna. Shout it out. Maths. Okay, what other subjects do you like? Art. Okay. Okay, let me tell you this. What subjects do you not like? Rebecca, your hand is up like a shot. Maths. Okay, any other subjects we don't like? Yes. No, psych. Maths, you don't like maths? Yes, what do you like? Maths, a lot of people don't like maths, yes? Maths. Okay, anything else? I'll be grace with you. Sorry? Play. You like play. Uh-huh. So there's some check. See, I used to go to school with a boy, and he would come home, and my mummy would look after him. And my mum knew what homework he had the moment he came in through the door. If he came in through the door dancing and full of smiles, he had Ma's homework. If he came through the door and the school bag was pitched across the room, he had English homework. And the things that he liked doing, he was so enthusiastic about. And things he didn't like, oh, he was not enthusiastic. But when it comes to Jesus, we have to be passionate, girls. We have to be excited about Jesus. Now, what does it mean to have passion? Well, let's see the next picture. To have passion means to having hearts that are burning for Jesus. Christianity is not just about trusting in Jesus and getting to heaven. That's part of it. Christianity has come to realize how wonderful Jesus is and to be absolutely excited about who Jesus is. In one of the Bible readings we had, we'll see in the next picture, we have the story of the Apostle Paul coming to speak to some women. And one of those ladies was called Lydia. And when Paul told her about Jesus, she came and trusted in Jesus as her Savior. But this is one of the things about the Lord Jesus, about Paul. Paul had such a passion for Jesus. One time there was a prophet called Agabus who came and said to Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, you will suffer in Jerusalem. And Paul says, don't try and stop me. I'm willing not only to suffer, but to die for Jesus. He was passionate about Jesus. He went into a city one time, Athens, which had all these statues to false gods, and Paul was so annoyed because they didn't know the true God who was Jesus. Paul said, I wish I was cut off so that others would come to know Jesus. He was so passionate. And if we're going to win the next generation, we have to be so passionate about the Lord Jesus. Let's see what the next thing we see. Girls like a nice romantic story. And I'm sure some of the girls are hoping maybe that will happen sometime in their life. There will come a man who will get down on a knee and woo them and say, will you marry me? Wooed by love. And you know, when it comes to seeing people won for Jesus Christ, it has to happen through love. In the next picture we see of what one of the stories you read, but a lady called Dorcas or Tabitha. She was a lady filled with kindness who went around making clothes for people who were poor, caring for people in the church. And the people in the church loved her so much because she was so filled with kindness. By her kind deed, she was drawing people to Jesus. And the Bible teaches us that we want people to come to know and love Jesus. We have to be full of love, whether leaders, whether minister, whether girls in the GB. We have to be filled with love. And the people have to see a church that is full of love. We've been thinking about that over a number of months. But Tabitha, or Dorcas, she died. And the people in the church were so sad. And they sent for Peter, who was the apostle.
And we see in the next picture, Peter came and he prayed for her and she was brought back to life. And the reason why she was brought back to life was God wanted her to continue to serve and to show love in the church. And the reason why God saves us if we're Christians is that we would be loving and kind and committed to his church, committed to his people. And when people see us committed to the brothers and sisters in Christ, they will be won for Jesus. The third thing Kevin says we need to do, and we'll see in the next picture, is we have to hold them with holiness. Holiness is a big word, girls, isn't it? I don't think you've maybe done that in your spellings yet, the younger and the ones explorers. Holiness just means to become like Jesus. There's a minister many years ago who died at the age of just 29 called Robert Murray McShane. He said, "What my congregation's greatest need is that I will be holy." And you know what God uses? It's not people with great ability, but people who are like Jesus. In the next picture, we see Mary and Martha. We read that story as well. Martha was busy, busy, busy. Girls, at home, do you help Mummy and Daddy in the kitchen? Do you help setting the table? Do you help clearing the table? Well, Martha was like that. She was busy, 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 getting the lunch ready. But Mary, she was sitting at Jesus' feet, just listening to Jesus. And Martha went crazy. "Jesus, tell Mary to help me." Jesus says to Martha, "Martha, Martha, calm down. Mary has chosen the good thing." And girls, if we're going to become like Jesus, we first of all have to have Jesus as our Savior and Lord, but then we have to spend time with Jesus. We spend time talking to Jesus by praying. We spend time listening to Jesus through the Bible. And it's by spending time with Jesus that we become like him. See, as you grow up, girls, you have to watch being friends with any girls or boys who are really naughty. Because if you're friends with girls and boys and spend a lot of time with girls and boys who are really naughty, you'll become more naughty yourself. You'll become like the people you spend time with. And if you spend a lot of time with Jesus, you will become like Jesus. And you know, as girls in the next generation, the thing that will attract them, it's not entertainment, because you get plenty of that in the world and probably better entertainment in the world. The thing that will attract them is when they see girls, they see leaders who are like Jesus, who have spent time with Jesus. So, three so far. Number four, what does Kevin say? Next one, he says, challenge them with the truth. Now, I help sometimes, not very often, but I sometimes help with doing school homeworks in our house. It's not so bad in P4. I wouldn't like to be doing school homeworks in year 8, 9, 10, and so forth. They get harder and harder. Because what our young girls are learning these days, a lot of us here in this room will not be able to understand. And we need to realize that, because we need to teach, when it comes to the Bible, yes, the simple truths, but we need to teach the full truth of God's word. And we need to realize that girls, when they get to secondary school age, they can take in far more than we could ever imagine. Probably far more than a lot of us who are adults here today. Sorry if you're over 40 like me. They say when you reach the age of 40, your ability to take in knowledge goes severely downhill. So if you've reached 40 twice, sorry, no hope of that. But for girls in their teens, there is great ability to learn. In the story with the scene in the next picture, again, go back to Paul and Lydia. When Paul taught Lydia the truth, her life, her heart was opened, and her life was changed. It is the truth of God's word that really transforms people. Let's see in the next picture some of the truth which Paul would have taught. Paul would have taught about sin, about how we're not right with God, we're born with a sin. He would have taught about God's holiness, how God is pure, and how people who are sinful can't come into heaven. Paul would have taught about the judgment to come, as Jesus did. Paul would have taught about Jesus, his life, his death, how he is the one Savior. Paul would have taught how you need to be born again. He would have taught about faith, what it means to trust in Jesus as your Savior. He would have taught about repentance, about turning from your sin and embracing Jesus as your King. He would have taught about new life, what it means to be a Christian, and how you live and how you go on with the Lord Jesus. Do you see what he taught? Truth, truth, truth. If we are going to see the next generation one for Jesus, we have to teach them the truth and the full truth of God's word. Not just nice sentimental stories. There's a place for that. But we need to give them real truth, which will help them to have backbone as they go into a world out there which doesn't want the truth. You know, when girls leave the GB, when they go to university or go to the workplace, so much of what they believe or are being taught will be challenged. It's only when they're taught this truth deeply and the Holy Spirit brings it into their hearts that they'll be able to withstand the challenges of the world. And then the final one, what does Kevin say if we're going to win the next generation? Well, it's the title of his book, Amaze Them with God. One of the wonderful things about us as human beings, we were made to be amazed. We were made to be thrilled. We love to be excited. We love to be thrilled by things. We're born to be worshipers. And if we want our girls to be worshipers of the true God, they have to see that God is greater than anything in this world. People worship pop stars, sports stars, celebrities of all different kinds. But if girls are going to come and worship the one true God, they are to be amazed by him. And you know, for those of us who are leaders, for those who teach the girls, we have to be people who are absolutely excited and thrilled and amazed by the God that we worship. If we're not excited about Jesus, if we're not excited about this God, the girls will see that. What are we to be excited about God? Let's see the next picture. We're excited about the God who is the Creator. Can I really encourage girls, when you go to the big school, to really try science. And really, if you're good at science, to keep it on. Because science does not go against the Bible. But what science does is show the amazing things that God has done and continues to do. The God who put all the stars in space and keeps them up there. How amazing that God is. The God who made this world. The God who made us, our bodies, which are so complicated. One of the things about being a minister is I visit a lot of sick people. And I hear a lot about the human body. Some things I may hear, which I don't want to hear at times, but there's a lot of things I hear. And the more I hear about the human body, I am absolutely amazed about the human body. How God has made it in such a way to fight infections. How God has made the many different parts of the body to do many different functions. How amazing the brain is with God and all the amazing things that are part of the brain. You know, when you come to see what God has done, you begin to realize God is a great big God. So we teach them about the God who's the Creator. We teach them secondly about the God who is the Redeemer. The God who sent his Son to die on the cross. The God who even this world cannot contain, even this universe cannot contain God because God is so much bigger. He came into this world as a little baby. For people like us who are like tiny little grasshoppers in his sight, we're so small and insignificant prior to God, and yet he sent his Son to become one of us to save us. We teach him about the God next who is the King, the God who rules over everything. We were singing there about Lord of the Years. One of the problems today is people have a picture of a God who's a wee bit like a genie. A God you pull out of the bottle when you're in trouble. And that sort of God is, in many ways, nothing more than a nurse or a doctor. But the God of the Bible is the God who rules over everything. Let me amaze you here today. Before this world was even begun, God had planned that you would be here today. God planned that these girls would be in the GB. God planned that you'd hear the gospel today. God is ruling over everything. And as God rules over everything, he is bringing people to trust in Jesus as our Savior and Lord. That's how we can win the next generation, through this amazing God. And we are to excite people that in this world of apparent confusion, go out to the Middle East, to Syria and the mess that's there, Yemen, the mess that is there. You speak to Stanley Kyle sometime, and you listen to hear how in the Middle East, God is bringing hundreds and thousands of Muslims to faith in Jesus Christ. He is the God who rules over all. And he is the God, finally, who is the judge. One day Jesus will come again. Everyone who's ever lived, from Adam to the last person who will be born, they will appear before him to give an account for their lives. And only those who are trusting in Jesus will have that hope of salvation. Just see the next picture. That's why we need Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every adult here, every girl here, from the youngest explorer to the oldest brigader, every girl needs to be saved, to be born again, to be changed by Jesus. And how do we reach the next generation? By teaching them about this amazing Jesus and being excited about this Jesus. That's just last slide to finish. How do we win the next generation? Grab them with passion. Are you passionate about Jesus, Christians? Win them with love. Christians, do you have a love for each other that attracts people? Hold them with holiness. They will be drawn as they see us like Jesus. Challenge them with the truth. No soft message, the full truth of God's word. And amaze them with God. Help them to see that God is far more exciting than any pop star. God is far more thrilling than anything that they can ever know. They were made to know God. And their hearts will never have joy and true contentment till they come to know this amazing God. Isn't it wonderful? At the end of the day, Girls Brigade is not about girls, although it would be pretty dull without them. It's all about Jesus. And let us pray that these girls and the generations to come will be one for Christ. We're going to continue our worship now, and it fits in very well with what we've been looking at. A group of present and past officers and leaders are going to lead us in the piece, Facing a Task Unfinished.